We're going to continue with a series we've had the last few sessions on trusting God, and we'll pick it up in Proverbs 3. Hard to believe we've had two sessions on trusting God without getting to Proverbs 3 yet. But it's where we'll start today. Here in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. We read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now that is amazing. Two different things there, but they're connected. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So in every part of your being, from your very inside, you trust in the Lord. God is the one who we put our trust and confidence in. But then the second part is equally as instructive. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It's okay to try to understand stuff. It's okay to try to figure stuff out. But you just don't lean on it. You don't rely on it. It's one thing to, you know, walk through a rose garden and look at the pretty roses and think how pretty they are. It's another thing to lean on them. Two things will happen if you lean on a rose bush. One, you'll probably get your hand pricked with the thorns. And two, you'll fall over. Because I've never seen a rose bush yet that's strong enough to hold somebody up. There might be some incredible hybrid rose I haven't seen, but most of them are strong enough to hold up a flower, but they're not strong enough to hold up a person. So there's a lot of things in life it's okay to look at, okay to enjoy, okay to figure your life out, but don't put your reliance on them because you're just going to fall over. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Simply in all that we do, we acknowledge that God is our strength, God is our source of supply, God is our shield, God is our victory, God is our Father, God is our salvation. We just acknowledge these things in every part of life, and as we do that, he will direct our paths. So does that mean I shouldn't think and plan and organize my life? No, because God wants us to, and there's plenty of records in the Bible where people had to plan and think and organize. But you don't lean on your organizational skills in the sense that you put all your confidence in them. You trust in the Lord. And in everything you do, you acknowledge his preeminence, his ability to provide, his ability to protect and support you. And as you do that, he will direct your paths. He will simply let you know which way you need to go to be prosperous and victorious. Great life. So again, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In Proverbs 11 and verse 28, here we go. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Again, it doesn't say there's anything wrong with having riches. There are plenty of people in the Bible, from Job to Abraham to many, many others, who are very prosperous and very wealthy. But the key is, if you trust in those riches, you put all your confidence in them, you expect them to protect you, you'll fall. But the righteous, those who are right with God, they shall flourish as a branch. They'll flourish as a branch. Think of some foliage that's just in a nice damp area like all of us on the phone live on. We have plenty of water, plenty of sunshine. Plants just flourish. It's very hard to kill a plant in the kind of climate we're in. It's different if you're out west in the desert. It's very hard to keep one alive. Except certain plants that are, you know, adapted to the desert. But the person that trusts in the Lord will flourish like a branch or like some lush foliage. That's what happens when we are righteous and right with God, which we, of course, are through the new birth. So we don't want to trust in our riches. It's okay to have them. It's okay to enjoy them. It's great when God provides for us, but we don't want to trust in them. Proverbs 16, on the other side of that, here in Proverbs 16 and verse 20, Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely, or wisely heeds the word, shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Whoso trusteth in the Lord is happy. So a great way to be happy is simply trust in the Lord. Simply expect God to take care of you. Simply put your reliance on him and live every day knowing that God will take care of you. That's a very happy way of life. So whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Proverbs 22:17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it, God's knowledge, is a pleasant thing. If thou keep them within thee, they, God's words, shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be what? In the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. So that's why he's telling them these great truths of God's word, is that his trust may be in the Lord. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send thee. So that's why he's making known all these things, that his trust may be in the Lord. Because if we can learn to trust God every day, we will prosper. I sometimes think of acrobats and people that do wild things flying through the air, even at the circus where they're on trapezes. You know, if you're going to let loose of your trapeze and go flying through the air, you sort of have to trust that your partner will be there with the other trapeze to catch you. Or if you're doing some other kind of gymnastics where you're flying through the air, you have to trust that if you're, say, on that side horse where you're flying through the air, that if you fly up in the air and you come down, the horse will still be there. Somebody pulls it out from under you while you're in the air, that would be dangerous. But we trust that certain things, and everybody trusts things. When you get in a car, you trust that if you drive down the street, the car won't stop in the middle of the freeway, or it won't, you know, fail to brake when you hit the brake pedal. Or if you sit in a chair, you trust that the chair will hold you. Or so many, many things we do in life. If you plug in your coffee pot, you trust that it won't explode in your face. We just have things we trust. They are things that we've seen them time after time work, and so we have confidence that they're going to work. Well, trusting in the Lord is the same thing. We simply get to where, by what he said in his word and how we've proven him in our daily lives, we know he will be there for us. And as we do that, we'll be happy. So, Proverbs 28, verse 25. Great things here in God's word. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, or shall prosper. So we put our trust in the Lord, we'll prosper. Other people with proud hearts will just stir up trouble, but those that trust in the Lord will prosper. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So we can trust God or ourselves, and trusting God is the ultimate thing, and walking wisely according to God's word, we get delivered. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's true. If we're scared of people, if we're scared of the things people want us to be scared of, if we hear a report designed to make everybody nervous and worried, and we get nervous and worried, it just brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, shall be secure. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe or secure. That's the way we want to be. We want to be very secure. We spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. talking about security. I have to head off to Seattle in a few weeks to talk about airplane security, making sure nobody hacks into the flight control system while they're watching movies in the back row. It's a big concern, and everybody's interested in security, and everybody's nervous about it in many areas of life. You hear about it on the news all the time. Well, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, he shall be secure. He shall be safe. And that's the ultimate way to have security. It's good to have other things. It's good to lock your door. If you're in a place where you need an alarm system, it's good to turn the alarm on. Nothing wrong with those things at all. But in the end, you have to trust in the Lord. Because whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe or secure. Let's go to Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of the Lord is pure. Every word of God is pure. Sorry. Every word of God is pure. I know there are plenty of people that try to tell us you can't trust half the Bible, but it says here, every word of God is pure. And look, it says he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And I still think sometimes of all of these science fiction movies where somebody has these superpowers that form a shield around them. And they make good fiction and entertaining action movies. But we know our shield is from the Lord. He's the one that protects us. So he is a shield to them. Let's read that again in Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure. He, God, is a shield unto them that what? Put their trust in him. So that's all it takes to have the Lord, to have God be a shield for you, is to trust him. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to never have a bad thought. You don't have to never do a dumb thing. You don't have to never make a mistake, because that would rule out everybody except Jesus Christ. He's the only one that lived perfectly. So sometimes we think God won't take care of me because I'm a doofus. Well, God's got nothing but doofuses. That's us. So he's going to take care of us. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is trust him. In verse 5 again, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And in Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Here we go. In Isaiah 12, in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation, meaning he's the one that delivers me. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation, my deliverance. Isn't that a great line? Therefore, verse 3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Behold, verse 2, God is my salvation. He's my deliverer. I will trust and not be afraid. Because there's always something to be afraid of. There's always something to be worried about. There's always something niggling at the back of your mind that annoys you. Well, you've just got to decide, I will trust God and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, and of course Jehovah is the name that God gave to Moses, when Moses was sent to Pharaoh, and he said, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? And God said, I am. And I am is the same basic Hebrew word as what we translate as Jehovah, or some people will pronounce it Yahweh. It's the same basic word. So that's the name God gave himself to separate him from other gods. And much debate about exactly what the word means, but the point is, it's the name God gave himself. So behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So we have strength. We have a song to sing. We have things to rejoice about, because the Lord is my salvation. That's why I will trust and not be afraid. And then another favorite one in Isaiah 26. Another great one we like to read many times. Here in Isaiah 26, in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now notice the word "on thee" is in italics. In the context, it makes sense. But the word "stayed" just means steady. It means, it just means steady. It means steadfast, focused. If our mind is steady, and in the context, it's steady, it's focused, it's steadfast, trusting in God. So God will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And that is the way to have peace in life. There are other verses that talk about peace, like Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's just a matter of trusting God, a matter of focusing on God, a matter of turning your concerns and needs over to God and asking him for help. That's how you have peace. So that's all we need to do, is get our focus on God, and our lives will be at peace. So let's read that again, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, focused, stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. So not just tomorrow or the day after, but then Wednesday have a tough day and you don't trust in the Lord. Nope, trust ye in the Lord forever. Why? For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where you get your strength. I mean, picture yourself on a team where there's one or two really good players, maybe playing basketball, and everybody else has got to trust that they can pass the ball to those guys, knowing they'll be the ones to make the points. And, of course, we're in a much more extreme position because God's not just a good basketball player. He's tremendous. He's powerful, he's capable, and he's faithful to take care of us. So that's why we trust in him. He has everlasting strength. You and I will grow weak. You and I will fail at various times. You and I will fall through, but not God. He'll always come through. That's why I trust God more than you trust yourself. It's good to trust yourself and be confident, but at the end of the day, we all have limitations. But God has virtually no limitations from our point of view. He's not limited in supplying our needs. He has said things like he won't lie and he won't do this and that. But as far as what we need from him for salvation, deliverance, victory, having peace in our lives, he has no limitations. He can come through and do anything we need to give us victory. The only limitation is, do we trust him? Because when we trust him, he will find a way to take care of us. It might or might not be the way we planned. He might not be able to do my plan A, because my plan A might require a lot of other people to listen to God that don't want to listen to him. And if that's the case, God will go to his plan B, or maybe my plan B or C, but his plan A. But the point is, he will find another way to take care of us. And if those people or that situation that I wanted is not available, he'll find another way. You know, it's like driving through D.C. traffic. If 16th Street is clogged up like it was the other day, I go down 14th Street. You know, if the one highway is jammed up with an accident, I take another road. There's always a way to get to where you want to go. And God is like that on a much greater scale. If one thing won't work, he'll have another way to take care of us. So let's look at that again. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If we just steadfastly trust the Lord, we will have peace. And I can't count the number of times where I was worried or nervous about something, and I just prayed and lifted it to God and asked him for his help. And after a little while, all the worry and concern went away, and this just wave of peace just washed over me. It just takes a little while to get your mind focused on trusting God. It takes a little while for your emotions to catch up and settle down, but they will, and you'll end up in perfect peace. So thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Great stuff. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. Next book after Isaiah, Jeremiah 17. And here in Jeremiah 17, and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's pretty blatant, isn't it? Trust in man, you'll be cursed. And maketh, so cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So to have this kind of curse, you have to trust in man, you have to make flesh your arm, in other words, things in the five senses, your strength, and your heart departs from the Lord. If your heart departs from the Lord and you do all those things, you will be cursed. But then in verse 6, for he, this person that departs from the Lord, he shall be like the heath in the desert, you know, like that sagebrush rolling around aimlessly. And he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. So that's what we don't want to do. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth what? In the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. That's the person that's blessed. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see, or shall not be anxious, when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So if you trust in man and depart from the Lord, you'll be like in the desert with no water. But if you trust in the Lord, you'll be prosperous. And I often think of this, if you've ever driven out west, you can go for hours in states like Utah and Nevada with nothing, just dirt and rock and stone and an occasional cactus. Then up in the distance, you see something green, and there's this long strip of green, and it turns out there's a river going by. And within 10 or 20 feet on either side of the river, you have plants, you have trees, because there's water. And that analogy is being used here. Those that depart from the Lord and trust in man instead, they're like the desert deep part, where there's nothing growing or very little. And those that trust in the Lord are like along the river, because there's water, they prosper, they grow, they flourish. And that's what we want to be. Because remember, God says he's a fountain of living waters. That's where we want to be. We want to be by the source of supply. And to do that, all we have to do is trust God. So let's read that again. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, and that word see could be translated fear. Shall not fear when heat comes. And won't be anxious in the year of drought. Because there can be a drought all the way around you, but if you happen to be parked next to the river or the spring, you'll still be fine. Because there may not be water anybody anywhere else, but you happen to be there. Remember Elijah when he was being chased after, you know, it didn't rain for 2 years and 3 months when he prayed that way? I think it was 2 years and 3 months, a couple of years anyway. God found him water. God found him food. God had the ravens bring him food. He had everything he needed. So it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. What matters is when you trust God, God gives you what you need. So let's go to Daniel 3, verse 28. Ezekiel, Daniel. So Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. We'll keep marching through. One more in the Old Testament, then we'll go to the New Testament and see if it's okay to trust God in this administration. I think it is. Daniel 3 and verse 28. Here's after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace, and God sends an angel to deliver them. They're not, don't even smell smoky, let alone get hurt by the fire. And when they come out, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king of Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that what? Trusted in him. They've trusted in him. He sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own god. So even the idolatrous, dictatorish King Nebuchadnezzar, he acknowledged that it was the true God that had saved these fellows because they trusted in him instead of turning to other gods. So even he could see how important it is to trust God. Now let's flip ahead to the New Testament, the church epistles, and go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. They had a very tough time. We all have challenges, but they had such a tough time in their travels and the opposition they got to speaking God's word. Their lives were in danger. It said they despaired even of life. Verse 9, but we had the sentence or the answer of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That was the answer they had. Although they were at the end of their rope, so to speak, they were having a very tough time, the answer was simply they should not trust themselves. And that's quite amazing, because Paul was an amazing fellow. He was sort of the example for this administration. He was the one that had the responsibility for receiving the revelation of the church epistles. He was the one that had the responsibility of spreading the word among the Gentiles, which was most of the population. Only a small group was the Judeans that Peter had responsibility for. So he was an amazing fellow. But even he said, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So he had already delivered them from death, he continued to deliver them, and they continued to trust that he would still deliver them. Wow, that is trusting God. And they did. And as you know, they went on to go to many more cities and bring many more people to the Lord, and Paul continued to get revelation, so we got more church epistles with more things about the age of grace. Amazing stuff. All because they didn't trust in themselves, but they trusted in God, which raiseth the dead. That is a great key. Now, Philippians 3, a little bit more about Paul's background. Paul was an amazing fellow. You may recall some of the history of his life. He grew up in a Greek city in what was called, it'll come to me. But it was in modern-day Turkey, sort of south-central Turkey. Paul of Tarsus, that's what it was. The city was called Tarsus. And he grew up there. He was a Roman citizen, which gave him status that the average person didn't have, because remember at that time the population in Rome was roughly divided, a third slaves, a third freedmen who were not slaves but had no legal rights, and a third citizens. And in some centuries it was more one group or the other, but on average it was about a third of each. So being a citizen was a unique thing, because you had many of the legal rights that we, for instance, as American citizens have, where the government just can't come in and take all your stuff and turn you into a slave or kill you. They had to go through the courts and have formal processes if you were a citizen. So Paul had all of those privileges. And then he was sent to Jerusalem to be trained at the feet of Gamaliel, who at the time was a very learned and respected doctor of the law, meaning the Judean law, the Old Testament law. And he was considered a Hebrew of the Hebrews, just one of the bright, young, intellectual experts in the Jewish law. So on the Roman side, he had Roman citizenship and had grown up speaking Greek in the city of Tarsus. On the Judean side, he was trained by Gamaliel and very highly regarded in the highest leadership circles of the temple. So he was a fellow who, if you wanted to look at human credentials and human accomplishments, I'm trying to think of an analogous thing today. It'd be like somebody that grew up in a wealthy, famous family and then went to a well-renowned university and got a doctorate and had a high-level government position and was very well-respected, and sort of you'd say, this person has everything going for them. And if they wanted to trust in their background and accomplishments, they could do that. Well, Paul was one of those people who had all the credentials, all the accomplishments, all the education, all the respect in the community, but he chose not to trust in it because he had something greater to trust in. Most people look at Paul and say, gosh, if I had all that he had, that would be something. But Paul realized there was something greater to trust in. So let's look here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. If there's somebody else who thinks he has such a great background, he should trust his background, well, I got a better background. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So as he says in verse 4, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he had plenty of reasons to trust in the flesh, but he counted all that a bunch of dung compared to what he had through Christ Jesus in the new birth. And that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. And throughout his life and his ministry, he made use of all those things he had. The fact that he could speak Greek helped. The fact that he was a Roman citizen and they couldn't imprison him without a trial, that helped. There were many, many times where he did use his background. He did use his abilities. He used his connections. He used all of those things, but he didn't allow them to be what he put his trust in. His confidence was still in God. And that's the way we live, because every one of us has strong areas where we have connections, we have abilities, we have resources. Every one of us has areas where we don't have the resources we want, we don't have the abilities we want, we don't have the strength we want. It doesn't matter. If you've got a lot of the stuff in the world or a little of the stuff in the world, it makes no difference. We trust God, and God takes us to the next level. Think of Elijah when he had nothing but a price on his head and no place to live. God found him a place by the river, and the birds brought him food. When the water dried up, he sent him to a widow's house up on the coast in Tyre and Sidon. She had nothing but enough food for one small meal, but God extended that food, and he lived many, many days. So it doesn't matter if you have a lot or a little. What matters is that we trust God. So that is what we had to read about today. I think we should wrap up by going to Philippians 4, verse 6. Remember that old saying, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4, 6? Still true. Let's start back in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God's here to take care of us. Why do I have to get upset about everything? Be careful, verse 6, careful or anxious or what we'd say stressed out for how many things? Nothing. So whatever it is that might stretch you out and worry you, don't be anxious for it. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication, making specific requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So just don't be anxious for things. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Just turn it over to God. Trust Him to help you. And what will happen? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you for the joy it's been to spend some time in your word today. I thank you mostly that we can trust you, that you sent your Son to be our Savior, that we can look forward to his return, and that we know we can pray in his name to you at any time. We know that you will be there to provide for us, to supply what we need, and we can continually go to you, knowing that you will always be faithful to direct our paths, supply our needs, give us the desires of our hearts, and mostly just keep us in perfect peace. I thank you for that. May we have a great week ahead of trusting you, believing you. May you take care of our loved ones, our livelihoods, our homes, our own health and strength, and may we expect your blessing every day. Thank you for this and the joy of knowing you and believing you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.